Thank you, everyone, and welcome again to another awesome episode of the Lyme Boss Podcast. I am Heather Gray, aka the Lyme Boss. I'm a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner and certified bioenergetic practitioner, and I work with frustrated professionals who've been told that it's all in their head, their labs look normal, and nothing is wrong with them. I help dive deeper and get people a level of health and wellness that they didn't even know was possible. Today, we got a special guest, Ms. Bonnie Carter. She's with the Center for Lyme Action, and I've been on two different events with her and just absolutely adore what this organization is doing in the space for folks with Lyme disease. One, I think, was the flyover. That's you guys, right?
Yeah, the fly-in.
Fly-in, thank you. I knew it was something with a fly. Fly-in. That was a lot of fun. That was an awesome experience. And then recently was learning about the, what was the last thing that you had? You had a great speaker, a couple great speakers.
Yeah, we did an event in June, right in front of the NASM conference on infection-associated chronic conditions.
Awesome. So everyone, let's give Ms. Bonnie Carter a nice warm welcome. Yay. Thanks for coming on today. So yeah, Ms. Bonnie, usually most of us that are in this space have a story to tell, right? Most of us don't work in this really, really complicated area without having something near and dear. So can you tell us a little bit about your backstory and why you got involved in the Lyme world?
So my daughter was in a Girl Scout troop and we were moms. In the Girl Scout troop, there were six moms and six girls. And one year when they were 11, two of the six moms were diagnosed with Lyme disease. And I live in Portola Valley, California. And we did not know what Lyme disease was. We just didn't
know. Right, because Lyme doesn't happen in California.
Yeah, but it turns out it does. And so, and we were very alarmed because our friends, you know, this was a kind of a social group. We had the girls, we had the moms, and we, you know, did stuff together, went on the camping trip or, you know, sold cookies or, you know, did some sort of nonprofit, you know, charitable activity together. Anyway, it was basically a social group. And we were very alarmed that a third of the adults were diagnosed with Lyme disease. So we set off on a path to try to learn about this. And we would meet at a friend's house and we'd have a speaker once a month to try to figure out, okay, what is Lyme disease? Have a doctor from Stanford come or some sort of researcher or somebody that started a foundation. You know, we were just trying to learn about what the heck was wrong with our friends because we were very alarmed. They were really, really sick with chronic Lyme. And so as we went along on our journey, 4 or 5 months into it, my friend Lori said, oh, we should start a foundation. My family does that and we should do that. And I at the time, I'm an entrepreneur. And I said, oh, well, I'll help you do that. I can help you get this thing started and we'll get it going. So anyway, we started Bury a Lyme Foundation from that thing that happened to our friends. And so Bury a Lyme, of course, is now the largest public charity funding Lyme disease research in the United States and based here in our little town, Portola Valley. The reason that we started Center for Lyme Action is about 6 or 7 years into running, you know, working on Bury a Lyme Foundation, we decided that, I had this feeling that our budget for funding Lyme research was just simply not enough and that we needed to really leverage the power of the federal government. So Bury a Lyme Foundation funded a project where me and it turned and my brother Jeff Crater did an experiment. We ran around Capitol Hill and met with people to try to see if this issue of Lyme and tick-borne disease was an issue that senators and representatives cared about. And it turned out it was. And so we formed Center for Lyme Action with the purpose to grow federal funding for Lyme and tick-borne disease. And the organization's been really successful. We've got over 2,000 folks around the United States that participate in fly-ins, also, you know, sign letters and send communications to members of Congress to grow federal funding for Lyme disease.
That's awesome. So you weren't one of the two out of the six moms that had Lyme?
No, I was not.
Wow. So you got all boots in on the ground and it didn't even have one. That's impressive.
Well, it was our social group. It was our Girl Scout moms, and the Girl Scout moms, started that, kicked off that organization together.
And how are the two moms that originally had Lyme disease? How are they doing these days?
Well, they're a whole lot better than they were when we started the foundation. They still have this chronic condition that affects them, every day.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And then, man, that's crazy.
So, yeah, that's my story.
Yeah. Okay. It's a quick story. I'm like, okay, where do we go with this? No, actually, we're going to head to commercial real quick. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into why is it so important to have more federal funding from Lyme and what kind of, where that kind of money goes to, what kind of research, what it helps with, and why this type of organization is so needed out there in this space. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All-in-one wellness for Lyme sufferers. Nikki plus Lyme is designed to overcome Lyme symptoms and support a better life following recovery. Nikki plus Lyme offers the most advanced bioenergetic science in an attractive watch size wearable. Lyme is the fastest growing vector-borne disease in the world, with over 500,000 cases diagnosed each year in North America alone. Nikki brings non-invasive, drug-free, and doctor-endorsed frequency technology to the symptoms of this debilitating chronic disease that defies traditional approaches to recovery. Nikki puts a personal wellness center in your hands and on your wrist.
Make sure to go to my website, thelimeboss.com, and you'll find Nikki on the resource section. Make sure to use the Lyme Boss for a 10% off discount. Stay tuned. Awesome. Welcome back. Well, that was probably a record as far as the shortest story at the beginning of the podcast, but it was a great story. Like, because we get told all the time in the Lyme world, I'm in Colorado. You can't get Lyme in Colorado. You can't get Lyme in California. And that is a scary large number. Two out of six of your Girl Scout troop, mothers got Lyme. Like, that's a pretty high percentage for something that doesn't exist in California.
Yeah, we thought there was an epidemic. And so we wanted to learn much more about this and try to figure out how we could help our friends.
That's incredible. So amazing. So tell us a little bit more about, federal funding for Lyme and tick-borne disease, what all your organization does, why it's important, all the fun stuff. Because like I said, the fly-in was so much fun. And to see in just such a short period of time where you guys literally had like no funding for Lyme and then where you're at today. So I'd love for you to share some of those numbers and stats as well.
Yeah, sure. When we started the organization, we wanted to basically create an environment where Lyme patients had a way to talk to their members of Congress and advocate for increased focus, right? So increased focus by the federal government means much more money. And so that's why we created our focus on for Lyme and tick-borne disease is all about increasing appropriations. And so when we started the organization, we wanted to make sure that we had certain values that we were putting forth. And so we'd organize ourselves around those. And that was that we would be bipartisan. So we wouldn't care, what party that one was affiliated with. After all, some people say the ticks don't care.
Yeah.
You're a Democrat or Republican. We wanted the organization to be inclusive, because there's so many diverse opinions about Lyme and tick-borne disease that we wanted to try to be as inclusive as possible. And then also to try to be humane, because, there's so many sick people out there. We have, people wake up, as Lyme patients know, you wake up and, some days you're feeling okay and the other days you're not feeling okay. So we want to try to be as humane as possible in how we approached it. And then lastly is we wanted to focus on science and be scientific, because we believe that science would be the answer to solve this problem. When we first started Bay Area Lyme Foundation, I thought, this is definitely a solvable problem. We know what the bug is that causes it. We just need to figure out how to manipulate the bug, kill the bug, keep the bug from infecting people. It turns out that it's a very tricky problem, but we're making a lot of progress over the last 10 years that I've been involved in. So I'm excited about that.
Absolutely. And that's something like I was at Lyme Bites last year and they've got another conference coming up. And, you know, it was brought up a few different times. There's so much more to it than just being bit by a tick. You know, there's usually some sort of a pre-existing condition. There's, you know, emotional aspects that go to it, mental health stuff. So it is so much more and more complex than what we, you know, have kind of been thought to believe for so long. So it's great that we're, you know, bringing all areas of aspects of awareness to this problem so that we can, you know, use a multifaceted approach to it. But I love how all the different areas that you guys are raising money for, you know, some of it was for research, some of it was for what Nell Spector was doing, some of it was for, you know, can you go in a little deeper on some of like the areas that you really are trying to get funded?
Yeah. So Heather, first of all, I just want to say thank you to you for participating in our fly-in. Because it takes a village. So you can't do this. My brother Jeff and I cannot do this by ourselves. We have to have the hundreds and thousands of people around the country that spend their time and their talent to explain this issue to their members of Congress. So I just want to do a big shout out to you and all of the rest of the Lyme community that participate in our events.
It sounded kind of complex and a little scary at first, but once it got going, like I had a blast. I learned so much and it was just, that's what I was born to do, you know, and after having Lyme disease for over 27 years, undiagnosed, couple stents in the psych ward, you know, all the things, three autoimmune diseases, you know, a couple co-infections, mold toxicity, you know, it's a passion of mine, you know, that I'm out there screaming to the world that you don't have to suffer like this. And there is other ways. And then I found you guys. And then through you guys, I found, you know, other folks. And so it's just beautiful been building this network up over the past couple of years of people who are really trying to make a difference in this world, especially when it comes to Lyme disease.
Yeah. And every Lyme patient has a story, as you say. Absolutely. And that story is really important for members of Congress to hear. So we really appreciate all that. Yeah. But through your efforts, as well as everybody else, we've actually had a really successful run so far. So we started off with federal funding, the total federal funding being $59 million in 2019. And we're up to, with the new CDC estimates for funding, we're up to $178 million. So that is basically three times the funding when we started. So every year, you know, we go back and ask for a little bit more and a little bit more, and it's working well.
That's awesome. So can you tell us like some of the areas that some of this money has gone into?
Yeah. So when we first went to Washington, our first event was in October in 2019. So that was about almost 4 years ago. And we had a small event. I think there were maybe 80 or 100 people that came in Washington. And we had speakers from the House and the Senate who spoke and so on. And right after that, we were contacted by one of the members of the audience who happened to be a staff member in Susan Collins's office. So Susan Collins, of course, is the senator from Maine. Mm-hmm. And Maine is a super endemic state for Lyme disease. And so she had this idea of creating a Tick Act, which would fund programs in the CDC. So later that year, Kay Hagan, who was a senator, Susan Collins' colleague, who was a senator from North Carolina, she died of a tick-borne illness. And so the Kay Hagan Tick Act was born. Mm-hmm. And when we started, we were like, okay, great, this is great. There's something that we can work on. And so so we got sponsors for the co-sponsors for the Kagan Tick Act through letter writing and contacting offices, and the Lyme community was super helpful. That was the first major piece of legislation that for Lyme and tick-borne disease that that everybody worked on in 2019. So the Kagan Tick Act is what's called an authorization bill. An authorization bill tells the federal government what to do. Then there are the other types of bills, which are appropriations bills, which say how much something should be funded. So authorization is what to do, and then appropriations is the funding. And so the Kagan Tick Act was actually an authorization bill, but it gave us a lever to start working on appropriations. So for the CAG and DIC Act, because it was in the authorization bill, it said, okay, we want to fund this at $30 million a year. So every year, you know, the first year it was funded at, you know, at $4 million a year. The next year was funded at $16 million a year. And then, and now we're up to $18 million a year. So every year we go back and get a little bit more. And that's basically how it's been working. So there are CDC, there are funds, there's the areas that are being funded are the CDC. So the CDC has Lyme and tick-borne disease programs for education and training, as well as the counts, which are very challenging for the government to actually count the number of Lyme patients. And this is an area that's, you know, continues to need to be worked on. But the CDC has a very, very important function around that. The bigger area of funding is actually in the NIH for research. So this is NIAID, which became, of course, famous with Dr. Fauci and COVID, right? That's the same agency. And they also work on Lyme and tick-borne disease. And these programs are, you know, so CDC programs, NIH programs, and then there's a great program in the Department of Defense because the Defense Department has military personnel and veterans that that are exposed to Lyme and tick-borne disease. So they're very interested in trying to find solutions. So those are the three areas which we've been focusing on so far to increase federal funding.
That's awesome. I absolutely can't stand politics. And a lot of the language is a little over my head. And so it was a big jump for me to jump in. And I also see the importance of, because a lot of this funding will go towards research to get better lab testing so we can have better, you know, numbers and people can get diagnosed sooner rather than 27 years later, like myself. Or, you know, even that gap is starting to close up quite a bit these days. You know, I'm noticing a lot of the new patients coming to me are, you know, within 4 years of getting diagnosed, not 26. And so it's right. Definitely getting better in that area, but we need to still even do better than that, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we still have a lot of work to do because we still don't have a really good working diagnostic. And we still don't have a really good therapy for the chronic conditions of Lyme disease, so persistent Lyme disease. And so this is an area that, you know, we're continuing to work on. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic, particularly in the diagnostic area. There are, you know, there's probably over 100 projects around the United States working on a Lyme diagnostic. And the LymeX program, which lives inside of HHS, inside the federal government, is co-funded by the Cohen Foundation. Is a really important program highlighting, you know, top 10 efforts to create a great diagnostic for Lyme disease.
So on top of LymeX, what are some of the other areas of research that this kind of funding goes into? What are some of them that are more dear and dear to your heart? Because I remember there was at least 6 to 10 that day that we were talking to different people to try to get funding for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, starting off with the Department of Defense, there's a program called CDMRP, and CDMRP is a congressionally directed, mandated research program, and it's a program inside the Department of Defense. It's small; it's only a $7 million program, but they include Lyme patients and the Lyme community, Lyme experts, in addition to federal folks for making the decisions about who gets that $7 million. And so that's a example of a terrific program. The CAG and TIC Act funds centers of excellence are for tick research around the United States in four different centers across the United States. And it also provides additional funding for states who are having trouble staffing and counting the number of Lyme patients, and so that funding is very important for keeping those things going, and then of course the research budget. So the research budget for Lyme disease continues to be relatively small, but we're making a lot of progress. So, you know, when we first started, the budget was, in the $30 to $40 million range. And now it's up to $119 million. So that's really good. Because that research budget is so important for so many reasons, but particularly to try to get young researchers into this field of Lyme disease. There's a lot of funding, you know, $52 billion or some number like that of federal funding for cancer, right? And cancer is a very, you know, it's a devastating and a very important disease. But Lyme disease, 500,000 people get this disease every year. And so we need, you know, this number of 119 million is actually extremely small potatoes. We're really at the very beginning, even though we've had a ton of success so far.
It was quite fascinating to learn. I think that's probably what I loved about what you guys do the most is learning like all between all the AIDS numbers, right? How many people have AIDS and how much money they get of the budget compared to how many people get diagnosed with Lyme every year and how little of the budget they get. Like, it's still just fascinating to me that, you know, Lyme is still kind of the redheaded stepchild on the block as far as getting funding, but really it's roaring very loudly out into the world. Like, it is becoming so much more prevalent. And, you know, I don't like using the word epidemic, but it's getting to that point, especially in all the different ways that it can be transmitted. Right. So it needs to be more priority.
100%. And that's really the focus of our organization is to make, you know, Lyme and tick-borne disease and also, you know, chronic conditions like alpha-gal a much higher priority for research in the NIH as well as other programs in the federal government.
Yeah, and for those of you don't know, alpha-gal is another type of tick-borne illness that comes that actually gives you an allergy towards red meat. And I was born in Nebraska. I eat mostly a carnivore type diet. And so if I were to get alpha-gal, that would be absolutely devastating for me. Like, I couldn't imagine having, you know, just thinking about all the other health repercussions too, of people who can't eat and get their type of protein that they need. Like, that's just a whole nother animal in itself. And alpha-gal has definitely been on the rise as well as that little Lone Star tick has been making its way around.
Yeah, they're estimating, you know, 500,000 people in the United States have alpha-gal right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Devastating. This has all just been fascinating, Bonnie. I just love the work that you and your brother are doing. That's why I reached out and was like, I have to have you on. So this is the shameless plug area of the time. So like, if people want to get involved or donate, like, how do they find you? Where do they go?
Yeah. So we have a website, centerforlymeaction.org. And if you go to our webpage and scroll to the bottom of the homepage, a pop-up will happen. And you put your name and your email in there and you'll get on our mailing list. And we send updates out of what's going on with Lyme and tick-borne disease appropriations on a regular basis and things that you can do to get involved. So if you get on our mailing list, then we will send you some, you know, not every day, but periodically you'll get some opportunities to get involved.
And they're all amazing opportunities, and the education that I've learned, like, you know, just being a practitioner and a patient being on one side, but then also seeing it from such a bigger lens with the government and the funding and the research. And like, it's just been awesome. It's been an awesome education. And you get this, if you do the fly-ins, you get this beautiful scarf that you get to wear and hang out with your friends. And the all the politicians that we talked to that day were so appreciative, I think, and interested in hearing our stories. Like, it felt like on deaf ears at all. I actually felt heard and validated from these politicians. It was amazing.
Yeah. One of the things you have to remember, it's their job to listen to us. So it's a great opportunity for us to tell our stories and see if we can get them excited about helping us.
Awesome. So the other way that you can help out is make sure you like, subscribe, and share this information, right? Because this is how this stuff gets out into the world. So if there's one little nugget there that inspired you, please feel free, like, share, subscribe. Also, while you're at it, make sure to check out my website. I have a free course on how I overcame Lyme disease on the homepage. Check it out, www.thelimeboss.com. And in the meantime, have a healthy day. Thanks for joining us, Bonnie.
Thank you, Heather. Stay well.
Make sure to like, subscribe, and share this episode. Even if you found one little piece of inspiring nugget in it, this is how we change people's lives. This is how people get better. This is how people get hope. So please make sure that you are liking, sharing, and subscribing. Stay tuned for the next episode. You're not going to want to miss it. And while you're at it, head to my website, thelimeboss.com, and make sure you download your free video series, Real Cooking for Real Life. Learn amazing, delicious meals in 20 minutes or less. Learn why and how we cook certain things that are toxin-free, free of contaminants, and how to get a delicious, healthy meal under 20 minutes. You're not going to want to miss out. That's thelimeboss.com.